to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Let's stand in honor of the reading found in the Word of God in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 16. Verse number 18, one verse tonight. Sure am glad the Lord put this verse in our Bible. Gives us a lot of light about what's going on and where we're headed. Because He said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. It's good when we're reminded about who we are. And upon this rock, it does us good to remind us of who He is. The Lord Jesus. Upon this rock I will build my church. It's His. And the gates of hell, there is opposition, shall not prevail or conquer against it. Thank you for standing this evening. Father, we thank you for the good day, the time together tonight around the Word of God. I pray you let teaching be easy tonight. I pray if there be one here lost, you'd deal with their heart like only you, our God, can do. Pray for all those on our prayer request. Many, Lord, are sick tonight. Many need a touch of healing. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch them like only you can do. Help us in our camp meeting. Help us, Lord, in the meeting tonight with each teacher. God, with the young people out back. We'll be grateful to you. In Christ's name we pray and we ask you, amen and amen. We've been dealing with a thought on the local church. I think it's a lot of controversy. I think it's a lot of confusion about what the church ought to be or what the church ought to be doing tonight. But you know something, the Bible's not confused about what's in it. If we'll just stay with the Bible, then we'll be all right. I want to always be found going by the Bible. And certainly we've talked about the beginning of the church and its creation. Boy, in the mind of God, God had the church on His mind before the foundation of the world. And there is Christ as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The church was not an afterthought in the mind of God since the Jewish people rejected Him. Now, we know a lot about the preacher Hagee on TV. He's come out and he's wrote a book and says that Jesus was not the Messiah for the Jewish people. Said that it's going to rock Christendom. Well, he ain't rocked me with these lies tonight. Now, he may be selling millions of dollars of books, but I got the book. Because if Jesus ain't the Messiah, then He ain't the Savior. But I got news to tell you, He is the Messiah and He is the Savior. And so I don't have to read another man's book to see what God was. I've got the book tonight. And so He is the Savior of mankind, and He is the Messiah and the Savior of Israel. Now, if He was not the Messiah of Israel, who could save them? That's pretty simple. That's elementary to me. It's amazing how men get in the limelight, then they go on a tangent on another track. And it's amazing to me, but I'm glad we got a copy of the Word of God to know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And therefore, the church is not an afterthought in the mind of God. We found the foretellings of the church. It was heralded in the book of Isaiah. And therefore, it become not only the foretelling of the church, we've seen a formation of the church. It was built upon Christ. It was birthed by the Spirit. It was believed on by preaching. And it benefits to all that believes. I'm glad I'm a member of the local church tonight. Now, we've seen the church in its beginning. Then secondly, we've seen the church in its building. The foundation, their faith, and their fervency of their prayer. And then they had a great fragrance of love in that early church. You know, it would do us good tonight to stay with those three fundamentals. The foundation of faith. There's a person that was magnified. This thing's not about me and you. But it's about the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of glory. And we should never lose that glimpse. It's not about a steeple in a neighborhood. And it's not about the pews and a stained glass. But it is about a person that is to be magnified. Now, a church will never go wrong making much of God's Son. And any time it's about anything else, then it's just formality. But I'm going to tell you, God will never chastise us for making much about His Son. And so their person that was magnified. Boy, we need to stay on that foundation of faith. And then always remember this, people, that He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And God's going to stay with this format. He's not going to get out of this book. And if anything that you and I decide to do or believe, if it's contrary to this book, then we better lose it, and we better lose it fast. And boy, I'm going to tell you the foundation of their faith. I'm glad I've had some forefathers that's laid a good foundation of faith. And that ought to be our heart tonight as a local New Testament church at Liberty Baptist Church, that we would stay on this foundation of faith and leave a church for a generation to come. I appreciate the young man that was in prayer room tonight. There he opened his Bible. He had a prayer request. I'm glad that we have a generation that's following along behind us. And that's worth it all to me. A foundation of faith. And then their fervency of prayer. I think a lot of times the devil has sold us a small bill of goods about this matter of prayer. Prayer does change things. Why, if prayer don't change things, I would ask our congregation tonight, why did God say this? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm convinced tonight that I'm doing better with this operation than the last because I've had more praying for me. In the last 2 years, God has opened doors for our ministry and we've been introduced to a lot of new ministries. And I don't care what anybody says, when you've got 20, 25 churches praying for you, it can't hurt. Amen. That can't hurt. And so the building of the church, we've got to remember the foundation of their faith. He said you need to contend for the faith. It's some things that a dude, it's worth fighting over. Now, I know that I'm not to be a brawler in the community, but let me tell you, I can stand spiritually and fight a good fight of faith. And we better stand up for the Word of God in our church. And we better stand up to keep these altars open at the house of God. And how are we going to keep these altars open? Because we got to keep using them ourselves. We got to keep this Bible on fire and fresh in front of us. And boy, I appreciate the preaching that we've had here the last couple weeks that I've been able to sit down and enjoy that challenges me and changes me in life. Where would we be without preaching? A lot of times we need to get over what man's bringing it and realize that the God-man wrote it and it's God-breathed, it's heaven-sent, and it's sent for a reason. And what bothers me is when God send the Word and then people's not here to hear it. Oh my, the foundation of faith and their fervency of prayer. And their fragrance of love. I tell you how they built that church. Not only a foundation of faith and fervent praying, but they had a great fragrance of love. What's wrong with loving each other? Jesus said, they shall know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. It's not how big your church gets. It's not how many buses you run. He said, they'll know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Tonight, we better stay focused on those three areas in building this ministry for the cause of Christ. And any times that we go off the track, it's going to go in the ditch. Now, this Bible's the track, and you got to run the ministry on it. Amen? If it gets off the track, it ain't going to go no place. And so then, the behavior of the church. We've seen in Acts 1, that's where I want to pick up tonight. And I want to move right in on to the battles of the church. What battles did this early church face? In Acts chapter number 1 this evening, if you'd turn with me there, Acts 1 verse number 12. Now I want you to realize in verse number 11 that Jesus has just been taken away. Can you imagine being the 12 disciples there that soon as Judas Iscariot has went out and hanged himself, they've replaced him and the 12th disciple or that apostle has stepped up. And now Christ has been taken up from them. And can you imagine maybe how lonely that they felt? Can you imagine maybe how the devil said on their shoulder about, you're not going to make it now. The devil's good about sitting on our shoulder, isn't he? Have you ever noticed this? The devil's not in the encouraging business. Have you ever noticed this? When you start living for God, then the devil steps up to the plate. Have you noticed the devil never takes vacation? Have you ever noticed that the devil never is out of work for sickness? But honey, I'm going to tell you, there's a day coming when there'll be no more devil and there'll be no more heartaches and pain. And thank God I'm headed to a land where there is no more devil. The devil don't take vacation. Boy, He's alive and well, and he's about his bit. The devil would hate for you to be here tonight. Isn't it amazing how you have a good Saturday, but Sunday morning you wake up and everything goes to the devil? And so the devil's going to fight you. And so now these battles of the church, what did they face? In their church, where they went to church, what kind of battles did this early church face? First of all, I think they fought the battle of multiplication. Their church began to grow. And you know, there are some things that happen when you've got a church that are growing. I want to say, first of all, there are adjustments that have to be made. Now, in Acts chapter number 1, and you'll notice in verse number 15, the Bible said, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together was about 120. That's a pretty good sized congregation in the day we live. 120. And then you'll notice in Acts 2 and 41, they start doing some things right. God starts blessing them. And I don't read here where anybody wrote the names down in their Bibles that they won to the Lord. But I notice here that the Lord added unto them such as should be saved in verse 47. Can I say something? There's a lot of preachers that never baptize anybody all year. But maybe by way of radio or internet tonight, can I tell you that God's just as concerned about your church with 10 as He is with a man's church with 3,000. God's in the saving bid. Hey, if we preach the Word of God, it's up to God what He does with the Word of God. And certainly a man can't save nobody, so a man cannot get down if he's not seeing somebody get saved. And he can't toot a horn if he's seeing somebody get saved. For I like what Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. There's a lot of preachers tonight discouraged because they don't see anybody get saved. Had a man call me the other day. You all would know him if I called his name. He said, Brother Ken, we've had nobody saved in our church for 4 years. Well, I've got a couple things to say about that, but ultimately I can say this, salvation is of the Lord. Just keep a preaching. Just keep a preaching. And so in Acts 2 and verse 41, now they go from 120 to some 3,120. Look what it says. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I wish our church could see something tonight that's lost focus of. That's not numbers. That's souls. You listen to me tonight. You're not a number in the eyes of God. You're a soul. And man's soul is very precious in the eyes of God. Matter of fact, You have soul, spirit, and body. And your soul and spirit's going to go to live in one of two places, heaven or hell. This body's going to the graveyard, back to the dirt. But this soul and spirit's going to one of two places. There's no purgatory. This is the dressing room for eternity tonight. Now, I think we've lost the burn and the compassion and the burden for soul. Mom and dad, you children, it's not safe. They got a soul going to die and go to hell in their sins. We better quit looking at people as numbers and start looking at individuals as God sees as souls. And so in this early church, they've noticed their congregation come from some 120 to some 3,100 people. Pretty good influx of growth happened. I would say it had to take some adjustments. I wonder, did any of them get their feelings hurt about where they're sitting? Somebody come in and got their seat. I wonder if anybody got where they was parking their chariot, if they got upset that they got their parking place. I'll remind you tonight, that's not your seat, and it's not my seat, and it ain't your parking spot, and it ain't my parking spot. It's all to the glory of God tonight. There's got to be adjustments. Number two, not only in this battle of multiplication, you'll notice in Acts 4, and verse number 4, now it goes from 120 to 3,000. Now all of a sudden God says 5,000. The Bible says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Well, we know all of a sudden that's about 8,120 beside women and children. That congregation experienced some growth in just a little time. I would say it took some adjustments. And then not only do I think it took some adjustments, but I think if you'll notice about the personalities that come in. There had to be a big difference in how people were. You know, we got this mentality, our four and no more. I wish we'd get out of that mentality at Liberty Baptist Church and realize there's a whole town dying and going to hell without God. And there's a world going to hell without the gospel. And I wish we'd realize it ain't our four no more tonight. I think it took great adjustments, and I think they realized different personalities. And I wonder, was there any jealousies? Brother Mike, I wonder how in the world that these 12 men handled some of the scholars that I read on today said it was from 20 to maybe 40,000 people. Somebody's about ready to eat Rolaids, amen? Well, I want you to think about their battles they had of multiplication. I've heard people say, well, the church got too big, we don't like that, we're leaving. Well, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to see the church grow. I've never understood that mentality. Why wouldn't you want somebody to be saved and join Liberty Baptist Church? If you don't want that, you need to read in this Bible and get right. Well, God's in the sinner saving business. He said, preach the gospel. Come one, come all, but we must all come by the way of the cross. So they had a lot of adjustments that came there. Wonder if they had any skin color variances. Wonder do they have any poor, any rich people. Wonder was it, Brother Randy, such a great span of diversity in the congregation. It is my heart's beat and my thrust of this ministry that when somebody come in the door, we don't see their W-2, and we don't see what they're driving, and we don't see what they're wearing, and we're not seeing their skin color, but can we look the way our God sees things down in the bosom of their soul? You see, the battles of their church, they face some multiplication opportunities. Boy, I tell you, we ought to realize tonight that God's still in the saving business. And this gospel still goes out with power, and it's doing what it's written to do. Their multiplication, they had adjustments and personalities. They had a lot of positions that was moving. Let me tell you tonight, we don't have any room for jealousy. Well, we don't have any room for animosity and thinking this is my job and this is my play and this is what. Now let me tell you, God can get rid of us at one blink tonight. God ain't got to have me and He ain't got to have you. And we ain't no prize for God. And soon as we get full of pride, God will pull off of us. You're not the only one can preach. You're not the only one can sing. To God be the glory. Somebody help me preach tonight. Nobody ought not get mad. If Brother David don't sing, he can't sing everybody. The preacher can't preach everybody. And they faced a lot of things. A lot of y'all ought to be a pastor one week. You say, well, I know what I'd do. No, you don't. You ain't got a clue what you'd do. Be careful. Everybody knows how to handle the bear. They get a hold of him. If you could do it, God would have put you here to do it. So keep your mouth shut. The battles of the church. They face multiplication. Acts 5 and 1. They face materialism. And I'm going to tell you, the church is still facing this battle of the devil tonight. On materialism, it's not the one with the most toys wins. Acts 5, Mr. Big Bucks come to church. He thought everybody was to bow down to him because he was the supreme one. And I tell you what happened. Somebody made him eat crow named Barnabas. Barnabas was a man, like Brother Randy was teaching Sunday. He was a man that was sold out and obedient to God. God had blessed old Barnabas, and he sold a piece of land, and he gave it to the church. And that whole 20,000 was talking about that magnificent gift. But he didn't give it to be talked about, but they was talking about it. And Mr. God and all heard it, and they said, now wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the big dog down there. So him and his wife got a little coup together and said, now, all right, I'm going to walk in first and I'm going to give part of this and everybody's going to sing happy birthday to me. And then you come in a little later and we're going to get more bang for the buck. They're going to sing happy birthday to you. Y'all look like you need some preaching down here tonight. Ain't it something how people love to be shown in their gift? I've heard of preachers get up and boast about what they give him. Well, I think every preacher ought to tithe or they ought to get out of the preaching business. How can a man lead his people if he don't lead them right? But God help me if I'd ever put a number about my giving. Ain't nobody's business here. Amen. Ain't no business here what you make. And it ought not be none of your business about what I make. Amen. And so, they decide to lie. They wanted to hold on. Ain't it easy in our life to want to hold on to what we want and give God what we want's left? The Bible said in Acts chapter number 5, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession, kept back part of the price of his wife. Also being private too. There's in love material thing. The devil would love for you to sell your soul out to material things tonight. You say, well, preacher, that don't cost much. It costs him everything. I love old Peter. Boy, you're talking about a preacher, son. Look what he said in verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, he walked in. Have Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And to keep back part of the price of the land. He said, while it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God? We better watch. You listen to your preacher tonight. We better watch what we hide in our heart. We better watch. We think, well, it ain't bothering nobody but me. You better be careful. Them things we hide in our heart will get us in trouble.
Ain't it amazing? Them things we hide in the heart, they come out in the light. They's been a lot of men hid things in their heart, but God is sure that it come out in the light. Be careful what you hide over there in the dark. It'll come out on you in the light. And so the thing of materialism. The Bible said, verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down and he gave up the ghost. And look what happened. Great fear came in all them that heard these things. And that's some of the things we're missing tonight in our local church. People act and live like the devil and they ain't struck dead. They can throw their beer cans out and they come back here and do their nasty things behind the church house. I'm glad God's a merciful God. I'm glad He's merciful on me too, though. So fear came. The Bible says rebuke before all that others may fear. There's been people got out of sorts of me because I've revealed heresy. I think it's my job to tell you the truth or lies. If a man's lying, I'll tell you he's a lying so you'd know better to listen to him. I've heard little old wimpy Baptist say, well, I wouldn't, you ought to not say that. Get in, dog. Well, the Bible said rebuke before all that others may fear. That's what's wrong now. Our Baptist preachers got way too quiet. Just anything goes. Don't mess up the apple cart. Get right with God. That's what we need to do. Materialism. And I'm going to tell you something, sir. You think, well, what I'm doing only affects me. Well, I'm going to tell you what affected him. It affected his wife, too. Because the Bible said, verse 9, the Bible said, Peter said to her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door, and they should carry you out. And then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came upon all the church, upon as many as heard these things. The battles they faced. They faced the battle of multiplication. They were growing. They had to adjust to an ever-changing environment and an ever-changing atmosphere. Number two, the devil tried to attack them with material things. He tried to bring sin in the church. I notice this, the devil loves to attack within. The devil's gunning for you, he's gunning for me. And this ain't my first rodeo, I know he's gunning for me. And I've got to be careful what I'm doing, where I'm going. And you better be careful what you're doing and where you're going. Materialism. Boy, he stated that at the Laodicean church, because you'll find it still in Revelation 3. The Laodicean people, they have need of nothing. But Jesus said, y'all don't know. You're poor, blind, wretched, naked, and miserable. Tonight, he loves to battle the church from within. Not only multiplication and materialism, but you'll notice now in Acts chapter number 6, verse 1, watch how it lays out. Now, he attacks with murmuring. Acts 6, 1. And this is where a lot of confusion's got in the Baptist churches. Murmuring. In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. That word means a secret debate or a whispering or a talking about others in a negative manner. Sounds like a ride home from Liberty Baptist Church. Those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. What was going on? You think a minute, there's some 20,000 people. Now what has happened, there's two groups of Jews there. They're the Aramaic-speaking Jews that stayed in the homeland, and it's some of the Jews that went out to other cultures, and they've come back, and they've got saved, and they've been put in this church, and now it's two groups of people. And so one of them's a saying, one's getting more than I'm a getting. And one is a quarreling about this. Now, there are 12 apostles there. There are 12 disciples that's got to sort out all this murmuring. And look what they do.
God give them wisdom. Then the 12, verse 2, called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among the 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over, underline this business. Those men were put to assist the pastor, not to advise the pastor. The pastor don't report to deacons biblically. And that's why churches are in a mess tonight. You've got 6 or 8 men that's been successful in business that know nothing about spiritual things. They're running, calling the shots at the church, and they got the average preacher dangling like a little puppet on a string. And you can get quiet you want to. I can preach by myself on that point. Look what he said, it's not reason we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. I could preach 2 hours right there. And if my wife was here, she could preach 3 hours. But I can tell you this, they face the battles of murmuring. We ought to watch our murmuring. We better be careful what we say till we know both sides of the story. Isn't it amazing? This has always amazed me. Y'all tell me something right here, and then I'm going to leave in just a minute. I've got to hurt. But I'm going to say this before I leave. I am a hurt. Why does people listen to somebody else and won't ever come get the other side of the story and just leave? Would you just, somebody told you something about your job, would you just leave your job because you heard one side of the story? When you go to the boss and say, what's going on? I don't understand people. Well, you know, let me tell you something. Just because somebody says it's raining outside, you might ought to go look. Multiplication, materialism, murmuring. Look at Matthew 12:25. Boy, I wish the White House would get a hold of this verse tonight. Matthew 12:25. Look this about division. Look what Jesus said. Matthew 12:25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. You know, if I was the President of the United States, I'd quit trying to get my agenda through, and I'd be trying to get some harmony and unity together to try to run this country. You know, the marks of a good leader is to take people where he's headed. I'm not here to bring division. Let me tell you something. Any house that's divided, it cannot stand. And that's why, if I didn't go along with what was going on here, I would leave. I wouldn't try to bring discord. I'd try to find out and see what it was. But I'm going to tell you something. A house divided cannot stand. I wish that they'd get out of the Democrats and the Republicans. And I wish they had come together and get to praying and ask God to heal our country and for the welfare and the good of our nation. Wouldn't that be a refreshment? Wouldn't that be a blessing if Obama walked in the office, had a King James Bible, said, y'all, I've got some light last night. What took George Washington across the ford to take us across the ford? Now let's forget about all this division and let's go to crying and weeping and beg God to heal our country. Any church that's in a mess tonight, this book and this altar can fix it. They're murmuring. Murmuring ain't going to do nothing for you nor me. Philippians 1:27. I'm not hurting no more. I'm going to preach on a while. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation or your behaviors, that word, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I want to say something tonight. We all ain't got to agree, but we can agree to disagree. We ain't got to backbite each other. Say amen. It's going to come a time you're going to need somebody. Be careful what you say.
Then Philippians 2, 1 through 4, there be any consolation of Christ, any comfort of love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. What's vainglory? Vainglory is giving me the praise, giving you the praise. Boy, that's vainglory, ain't it? That stuff will sink a ship in a hurry. Look what it says right here. And he says, but be in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other. This would fix every problem everywhere. Better than themselves. Well, here, you have the piece of good chicken. Some of y'all can't get past the chicken bucket. Oh, boy, this right here, Happy. Here, hon, you have the remote. Let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You know what I've learned? Be careful to say this. If I was him, I know what I'd do. Whew. I know, I remember this. I said, you know, when I have kids, they won't have a TV. They didn't. They had two. They ain't going to have no phone in their room. No, they had cell phones. Be careful. Well, if I was him, I know what I'd do.
Do you? Do you really?
I would say we all got more than we can see about at our house. And we'd just get to looking about our house. We wouldn't be worried about nobody else. And you know what I'd do? This is what I'd do. If I've ever spent these words, I'd try my best to pull them back in. My kids won't do that. You don't know what your kid's going to do when they leave your house. You don't know what you're going to do. Be careful. Be careful. And let me tell you something else that would help you. Don't ever say this. I know what I'd do if I was the boss. You ever had every employee thinking like you? Okay, y'all didn't like that, and I'll try this. Battles of the church. Battles within. They battled multiplication. Real deal now. This early church, they was growing leaps and bounds. They had to battle some adjustment. And you know, I commend you, church, for adjustments you make. I do. I appreciate it about you. People come in, you don't get up. Y'all remember a few years ago, me and Miss Renee had invited somebody to come to church. Come out of class. That's about probably 9, 10 years ago. And we've been praying about this couple for years. Come, well, they came, and they came, sat down with somebody. Somebody come in and said, well, we're sitting there. They got up and moved. They moved to the second place. And somebody else said, well, we're sitting there. Well, they just left. I don't blame them. I'd have left too. Who'd want to go there? Not me. I want to be wanted. Amen. 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 And so I commend you for your courtesy and your love. I commend you for welcoming people. And I commend you for that. When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I wonder, is God going to get on us because we're nice to somebody? You think? You think? Then, not only battles within, he seen he couldn't sink them that way, so he started battles without. Can you imagine this early church in Acts 12? Look what happens now. They've been preaching. They've been doing everything by the book. And all of a sudden, God allows something to happen outside the church. Now, they handled things inside the church the way, as soon as it happened, they carried it out. And let me tell you something. You can't keep a church full of the moving of God by sweeping things under the rug. You've got to deal with sin. You've got to preach against sin. You've got to forgive people and move on for the glory of God. Amen, church? And so the devil said, well, I can't sink them inside. Let's see what I can do on the outside. Acts 12, verse number 1.
You'll notice now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands. Now, he's got a lot of them, plural. He's got many hands that are working, and look what he's working against certain of the church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're sitting down and you're just warming a seat, he's interested in you. But let me tell you something. If you're doing something for Christ, he's a lot more interested in you doing that than you just sitting down warming a seat. About the time you're doing something and you're having an impact and you're doing something and you're growing in the Lord spiritually, you be sure that he's going to try his best to discourage you. And look what he's got. He's got all kind of different hands. Some hands are in your family. Some hands are at your workplace. Some hands are from your best friends. But by the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and look what he done now. He killed James, the brother of John. James and John, they went everywhere together. And he killed James. Could you imagine when they brought that news back to the church, what they done? I'm going to show you what they done. They brought the news back. And look where Peter's at. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. The devil's not happy with one. Listen to me, folks. The devil ain't happy just getting rid of one person. He wants to stamp out everything. He hates our message. This book brings life. This book, it brings hope and peace and joy. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, he hates the message. He hates our master. He hates our ministry. He hates our mission. I tell you, I'm so thrilled about pastoring in this day and hour more than I've ever been at all. I love what I'm doing. I don't like the problems. But let me tell you something. One day, you're going to lift your head up, weary people. It's going to be worth every mile. One day's coming. It's going to be worth what you've done. What you've done for Christ will not be taken away. And look what they've done. All of a sudden, something happened. They quit talking about stuff and they start doing something. There's a change happens in verse 5 of Acts 12. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Here's a word was inserted. Changes everything that happened. But. You ought to underline that. Now, nothing was happening until this was inserted. And all of a sudden, look what they're doing. They had fervent praying. Verse 5. They went without ceasing. Have you prayed today? How many of us have prayed about camp meeting this week? Have you got any idea what's fixing to take place in this place next week? Have you prayed? Sister Noel sent out a thing, I know, in the last few days about the prayer list. What we're doing about it? In yonder, people sent word to the men in there tonight. That's important. That's important. There's a man in Houma, Louisiana, text me, said, "How you ought to pray for my mother. It means something for somebody to know that you're praying for." It meant so much to me to know that I had a church behind me praying. When I'm out yonder preaching, don't you know it means a lot? Brother Mike's in that place telling the men, "Our pastor's fixing to preach, y'all pray for him." Miss Flo's at home, heart trouble. Are you praying? Brother Ted's in the hospital. Are you praying? Brother Donald's weak and sick. Are we praying? Brother Roy and Miss Betty, a lot of y'all don't even know this, one of the most faithful members of our church, probably hurting more than any family in our church. Has anybody said a prayer for the Rogers today? You know what we ought to do? We ought to encourage ourselves to make us a prayer list that we'll not forget. And when we've got too busy to pray one for another, we've got too busy. Now, do you want a puppet in the pulpit? Or do you want a man of God want to remind you about how to do right? fervent praying without ceasing. Then look at their faithfulness, verse 5. They wasn't praying to be heard. You ever notice how you call on somebody to pray and you can tell that they practiced that thing about 3 weeks so it sounds good? You know what sounds good to God? The simplicity out of your heart. How many times have you prayed and the devil said, "Boy, you made a mess of that"? That's when you know you got through. When it didn't sound pretty. Faithful unto God. And look, they were focused. Verse 5, they prayed unto God for Him. Specific prayer does change things. And then they had family prayer. They was together praying. Battles they face. Let me tell you something, folks. Battles has not changed. We're going to face battles till we get out of here. Aren't you glad we can pray? Ain't you glad we got somebody that can win our battles? Have you ever noticed this? As long as you're trying and a pulling, He'll let you do it. But when you throw your hands down and say, "I can't do this no more," that's what He's been waiting on a long time. Miss Sherry, would you come tonight, please? Would you play for me this something softly?